Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Living in a quiet suburban neighborhood always gave me a sense of security. Our house, nestled in a peaceful cul-de-sac, felt like a sanctuary where nothing bad could ever happen. But that illusion was shattered one terrifying night that changed everything. It was a typical Friday evening. My wife, Emily, and I had just put our kids to bed after a fun movie night. The house was quiet, with only the soft hum of the refrigerator and the occasional creak of the old wooden floors. We settled into our bedroom, ready to relax and unwind before turning in for the night. I was half asleep when a strange noise jolted me awake. It was faint at first, almost like whispering. I glanced at the clock, 2:13 a.m. My heart started to race as I strained to listen, trying to make sense of the sound. "Did you hear that?" I whispered to Emily, who was now sitting up in bed, her eyes wide with alarm. "Yeah, it sounded like it came from outside," she replied, her voice trembling. I got out of bed and walked over to the window, cautiously peering through the curtains. At first, I saw nothing but the dark, empty backyard. But then, movement caught my eye. There, standing in the middle of our yard, was a woman, completely naked. She was pacing back and forth, mumbling to herself and occasionally glancing up at the house. Her hair was matted, and she looked disoriented and frightened. I felt a chill run down my spine as I watched her, unsure of what to do. "There's a woman in our yard," I said, turning to Emily. "She's naked and looks really out of it." Emily joined me at the window, and we both stared in shock. "What do we do?" "Should we call the police?" she asked, her voice filled with concern. "Yeah, I think we should," I replied, grabbing my phone from the nightstand. As I dialed 911, the woman suddenly stopped pacing and turned towards the house. She began to walk slowly towards the back door. "She's coming this way," I said, my heart pounding. "Lock the bedroom door and stay with the kids." Emily nodded and hurried to the children's rooms, while I stayed by the window, watching the woman approach. The operator answered, and I quickly explained the situation. "We have officers on the way," the operator assured me. "Stay inside and keep all doors and windows locked." I hung up the phone and watched as the woman reached the back door. She started banging on it, her fists hitting the glass with a surprising amount of force. Her mumbling had turned into frantic shouting, and I could see the wild desperation in her eyes. "Let me in. Please, let me in," she screamed, her voice cracking with emotion. I backed away from the window, feeling a surge of fear. I ran to the back door and checked the lock, making sure it was secure. The woman's pounding grew more intense, and I could see cracks forming in the glass. "Emily, stay with the kids," I shouted, hoping my voice would carry through the house. "The police are on their way." Just as I turned to run back to the front of the house, I heard the sound of breaking glass. The woman had smashed a window and was now trying to crawl inside. My mind raced with panic as I grabbed a kitchen knife for protection. "Stay back," I yelled, my voice trembling. "The police are coming." She ignored me, her eyes wild with fear and desperation. I could see blood on her hands and arms from the broken glass, but she seemed unfazed. She managed to squeeze through the window and stumbled into the kitchen. "Please, help me," she cried, her voice filled with anguish. "They're coming for me." I took a step back, trying to keep a safe distance. "Who's coming for you?" I asked, trying to keep her talking until the police arrived. They're everywhere, she whispered, looking around frantically. They won't stop until they get me. Before I could ask her anything else, I heard the sound of sirens approaching. The flashing lights of the police cars illuminated the yard, and moments later, officers burst into the house. "Ma'am, step away from him," one of the officers commanded, his voice firm and authoritative. The woman turned to face them, her eyes filled with a mix of fear and relief. "Thank God," she murmured, collapsing to the floor. The officers quickly moved in, restraining her and assessing her injuries. One of them approached me, his expression serious. "Are you okay, sir?" I nodded, still shaken by the events. "Yes, I think so." She just appeared in our yard and started trying to get inside. The officer explained that the woman had escaped from a nearby mental health facility. She had been reported missing earlier that evening, and they had been searching for her. She was severely mentally ill and had been off her medication, which explained her erratic behavior. As the officers escorted the woman out of the house, I felt a mix of relief and lingering fear. Emily and the kids came out of the bedrooms, and we all sat together in the living room, trying to process what had just happened. For weeks after that night, I couldn't shake the feeling of vulnerability. Our home, which had always been a place of safety.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Safety and comfort now felt exposed and insecure. We installed new locks, reinforced the windows, and even got a security system, but the sense of unease remained. The incident left a lasting impact on our family. It made us realize how quickly a sense of security can be shattered and how important it is to be prepared for the unexpected. We never found out what exactly the woman had been fleeing from in her mind, but her fear was real, and it had invaded our home. If there's one thing I learned from that night, it's that safety is never guaranteed. Always be aware of your surroundings, and take every precaution to protect your home and loved ones. You never know when the unexpected might come knocking at your door. Living in a rural area had always given me a sense of peace and isolation that I cherished. Our house was surrounded by acres of farmland and dense woods, a perfect escape from the hustle and bustle of city life. But one evening, that sense of tranquility was shattered in the most terrifying way. It was a typical early evening. I had just finished dinner and was settling in for a quiet night. My wife, Sarah, was out of town visiting her parents, so I had the house to myself. After cleaning up the kitchen, I decided to watch some TV in the living room. As I flipped through the channels, I heard the distant sound of a car engine. It was unusual, given how remote our house was. We rarely had visitors, especially unannounced. I turned off the TV and walked over to the window, peering out into the fading light. There, parked on the dirt road near our driveway, was an old, beat-up car. A man stepped out, looking around as if he were lost. I felt a twinge of unease, but told myself he might just need directions. I watched as he slowly approached the house, his movements deliberate and almost hesitant. As he got closer, I noticed he was holding something in his hand, a lead pipe. My heart started to race. I backed away from the window and grabbed my phone, dialing 911 with trembling fingers. "There's a man with a lead pipe outside my house," I whispered urgently to the operator. "Please send help." The operator assured me that deputies were on their way, but being in a rural area, response time would be slow. I locked all the doors and windows, my mind racing with fear and uncertainty. The man reached the front porch and started banging on the door with the lead pipe. The sound was deafening, echoing through the quiet house. "Open up," he shouted, his voice rough and menacing. "I know you're in there." I backed away from the door, clutching my phone like a lifeline. My hands were shaking so badly I could barely hold on to it. I tried to think of a place to hide, somewhere safe until the police arrived. The banging continued, growing more intense with each hit. I could see the door starting to give under the force. Desperation set in, and I ran to the kitchen, grabbing a large knife from the drawer. It wasn't much, but it was the only defense I had. "Stay back," I shouted through the door, trying to sound braver than I felt. "The police are on their way." The man laughed, a harsh, mocking sound. "Do you think that scares me?" he taunted. "I'll be long gone before they get here." I retreated to the living room, my mind racing. I needed to find a place to hide, somewhere he wouldn't find me. I decided to hide in the closet under the stairs, a small, cramped space that was difficult to see from the main area. I crouched inside, trying to steady my breathing. The sounds of the door finally giving way and the man's heavy footsteps filled the house. He was inside now, searching for me. The fear was overwhelming, and I felt a cold sweat trickle down my back. "Come out, come out, wherever you are," he sang, his voice sickeningly cheerful. "Let's play a little game." The footsteps grew louder as he moved through the house, methodically checking each room. I could hear him rifling through drawers, knocking over furniture, and muttering to himself. Suddenly, the footsteps stopped right outside the closet door. My heart felt like it was about to explode. I held my breath, clutching the knife tightly, ready to defend myself if he found me. The door creaked open, and I could see his shadow looming over me. But before he could react, the sound of sirens pierced the air. He hesitated, cursing under his breath, and then turned and ran. I waited until I heard the sound of the deputies' voices and their hurried footsteps entering the house. Slowly, I emerged from the closet, my legs weak and trembling. "Over here," I called out, my voice shaking. The deputies rushed over, their faces a mix of concern and relief. "Are you all right?" one of them asked, helping me to my feet. I nodded, still clutching the knife. "He ran off when he heard you," I said, my voice barely above a whisper. The deputies searched the house and the surrounding area but found no sign of the intruder. They assured me they would continue to patrol the area and keep an eye out for the man. Sarah returned home the next day, and I told her everything. The fear in her eyes mirrored my own. We decided to install a security system and reinforce the doors and windows, but the sense of safety we once felt in our home was gone. For weeks, I couldn't sleep properly. Every creak and rustle in the house sent waves of anxiety through me. I kept thinking about how close I had come to facing that man with the lead pipe, alone and defenseless. The fear lingered, a constant reminder of the fragility of our sense of security. If there's one thing I've learned from this experience, it's that you can never be too cautious. Trust your instincts, and if something feels off, don't ignore it. Always take the time to prepare for the unexpected, and never assume that danger is far away just because you live in a peaceful place.
Breaking up with my boyfriend had been difficult, but I thought that once it was over, I could move on with my life. Little did I know, the real nightmare was just beginning. My ex, Jake, had always been intense, but I never imagined he would turn into a stalker. It started with anonymous phone calls. They would come at all hours of the night, just silence on the other end. I tried to brush it off as prank calls, but deep down, I had a gnawing feeling it was Jake. Then, the messages started. At first, they were just creepy texts, things like, "I'm watching you," and "you can't hide from me." But then, they escalated to threats. One evening, I was home alone. I had just settled in with a glass of wine and a book, trying to unwind after a long day. The house was quiet, and for a moment, I felt a sense of peace. But that peace was shattered when I heard a noise outside. It was a soft scraping sound, like something, or someone, was moving around the side of the house. My heart skipped a beat, and I set my book down, straining to hear. The noise grew louder, more deliberate. I walked over to the window and peeked through the curtains. Standing in the dim light of the porch was Jake. He was just standing there, staring at the house. My blood ran cold. I backed away from the window, my mind racing. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911, my hands shaking. "There's a man outside my house," I whispered urgently to the operator. "I think it's my ex-boyfriend. He's been stalking me." The operator assured me that police were on their way and instructed me to stay inside and keep all doors and windows locked. I thanked her and hung up, trying to calm my racing heart. I heard Jake's voice calling out from the porch. "I know you're in there, Lisa. You can't ignore me forever." Fear surged through me, and I double-checked the locks on the doors and windows. I backed away from the door, clutching my phone. I heard the sound of glass breaking and realized with horror that Jake had smashed a window. "Please, just leave me alone," I shouted, hoping he would come to his senses. But he didn't stop. I heard him climbing through the broken window, his footsteps echoing through the house. I ran to the bedroom and locked the door, my heart pounding in my chest. I could hear him moving through the house, calling my name. "You can't hide from me, Lisa." I grabbed a heavy lamp from the nightstand, holding it like a weapon. The police were on their way, but I had no idea how long they would take to arrive. I heard Jake's footsteps getting closer, his voice growing louder. "You think you can just leave me?" he shouted, his voice filled with rage. "You belong to me." He reached the bedroom door and started pounding on it, the force shaking the entire frame. I backed away, tears streaming down my face. I felt trapped, like a caged animal with no way out. "Please, just go away," I sobbed, my voice trembling. Suddenly, the pounding stopped. There was a moment of eerie silence, and then I heard the distant wail of sirens. Relief washed over me, but it was short-lived. Jake kicked the door open, splintering the wood. He stood in the doorway, his eyes wild with anger. "You called the cops on me," he hissed. "You're going to regret that." He lunged at me, and I swung the lamp with all my strength. It hit his head, and he stumbled back, cursing. I ran past him, out of the bedroom and down the hallway, just as the police burst through the front door. "Freeze," one of the officers shouted, his gun drawn. Jake stopped, holding his head where I had hit him. The officers quickly subdued him, handcuffing him and leading him out of the house. I collapsed onto the floor, sobbing with relief. The police took my statement and assured me that Jake would be charged and that I could get a restraining order against him. They stayed with me until a friend arrived to keep me company for the night. In the days that followed, I felt a mix of fear and anger. Fear of what Jake might do next, and anger that he had violated my sense of safety. I got a restraining order and took self-defense classes. But the emotional scars took much longer to heal. I couldn't sleep for weeks. I kept thinking about how close I had come to being seriously harmed, or worse. The fear lingered, a constant reminder of how vulnerable I had been. My friends and family were incredibly supportive, helping me regain my sense of security. They reminded me that it wasn't my fault, that Jake was the one to blame. But the experience had changed me.
I always felt safe living in my urban apartment. The building was well maintained, the neighbors were friendly, and the security seemed tight. But one late evening, my feeling of safety was shattered in the most terrifying way. I had just come home from a long day at work. The apartment felt comforting as I walked in, the soft glow of the living room lamp and the hum of the refrigerator providing a familiar backdrop. I dropped my bag, kicked off my shoes, and decided to make myself a cup of tea to unwind. As the kettle boiled, I heard a faint rustling noise coming from the hallway outside my apartment. It was odd, considering it was nearly midnight and the building was usually quiet at this hour. I walked over to the door and peered through the peephole. What I saw made my heart skip a beat. A disheveled man, clearly homeless, was trying to open my door. He jiggled the handle and muttered to himself, his movements erratic and desperate. I felt a surge of panic and backed away from the door, my mind racing. I grabbed my phone and dialed the building security number, my hands trembling. "There's a man trying to break into my apartment," I whispered urgently. "Please, send someone up here right away." The operator assured me that help was on the way, and I hung up, feeling a bit of relief. But as I turned back to the door, I heard a loud thud. The man had thrown his weight against it, causing it to shudder. My fear intensified, and I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. "Please, just go away," I muttered under my breath, praying that security would arrive before the man managed to get inside. I grabbed a heavy book from the coffee table, feeling the weight of it in my hands. It wasn't much, but it was the only weapon I had. I backed away from the door, my eyes fixed on the handle, waiting for it to turn. The seconds felt like hours as I stood there, frozen with fear. Finally, I heard the familiar sound of keys jangling and a gruff voice calling out, "Security! Open the door!" I rushed to the door and opened it just enough to see the security guard standing there, flashlight in hand. "Thank God you're here," I said, my voice shaking. "Stay inside," he instructed. "We'll handle this." I watched as the security guard and his colleague made their way down the hallway. I could hear their voices, stern and commanding, as they confronted the man. There was a brief scuffle, followed by the sound of handcuffs clicking into place. My relief was immense, but short-lived. The security guard returned to my apartment and explained that the man had been living in the building's basement for weeks. He had found a way in through a service entrance and had been hiding there, surviving on scraps and whatever he could find. "He seemed pretty out of it," the guard said. "We've called the police. They'll take him from here." I thanked the guard and closed the door, locking it securely behind him. The adrenaline was wearing off, and I felt a wave of exhaustion and fear wash over me. I sat on the couch, trying to process what had just happened. The police arrived shortly after, and I gave my statement, recounting the terrifying events of the night. They assured me that the man would be taken to a shelter and that they would investigate how he managed to access the building. For weeks after the incident, I couldn't shake the feeling of unease. Every noise in the hallway made me jump, and I found myself double-checking the locks multiple times before going to bed. The sense of security I once felt in my apartment was gone, replaced by a constant state of vigilance. I talked to my neighbors about what had happened, and they shared similar feelings of fear and unease. We all agreed to be more watchful and to report any suspicious activity immediately. The building management installed additional security measures, including cameras and stronger locks, but the sense of vulnerability remained. One night, a few months after the incident, I was sitting in my living room when I heard a noise at the door. My heart raced as I cautiously approached, but this time it was just a neighbor dropping off a package that had been delivered to the wrong apartment. As I thanked them and closed the door, I realized how much the experience had changed me. I was no longer the carefree person who felt safe in their own home. The fear had become a part of my daily life, a reminder of how quickly things can change. Looking back, I learned a valuable lesson about the importance of vigilance and community. We all have a role to play in keeping our homes and neighborhoods safe. Trust your instincts, and never hesitate to seek help if something feels off.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.